Welcome to Explain the Prophetic, where each week I give you a prophetic perspective, and we sometimes have interviews, and we're looking together for how hearing God's voice can change not only our lives, but the world around us. You can hear God, and as you build that connection, your whole life will change. Remember to follow me at social media, at Sean Bowles, or subscribe to this podcast. Welcome to Exploring the Prophetic Podcast, and we're in a series of prophetic perspectives, especially for 2025, and sermons that I've been praying for right for your life. So I'm Sean Bowles, and today I'm going to share a prophetic word for 2025 that I hope's a good challenge to you, and it's all about the project that's inside of you is due. It's time. It's time to start that project, start the race for it, start. That's the big word today, and you're going to love this word. So God's put so many projects into the hearts of people in this generation, so many ideas, so many businesses, so many inventions, books, movies, music. I mean, there's, you name it, there's projects that God's put in people's hearts to reach this generation and also to do some things that are so unique that people will know God exists because of you, because you show up. And the impact we're going to have is going to be something we can't even fathom right now. Some of you listening right now are carrying a seed of something in your spirit that God is waiting for you to bring to completion. Like God inside of you is already developing something that you're going to start on. And all of the earth is waiting for this. I mean, there's so many people who have so many important projects inside of them right now. So I want to share a dream with you last night. But before I do, I want to make sure to tell you that if this is your word today, make sure to type the hashtag my turn. My turn is our hashtag for when we pray for you, especially on YouTube in the comments. If you say, hey, it's my turn, this is what I need prayer for. Our team gets to pray for you. I get to pray for you. So make sure to include us in your projects. And if this word makes sense to you, we can't wait to hear from you. So I want to tell you the dream recently. I got to read this a little bit, but I believe many of you are going to relate to this dream because it was actually just last night. It was funny because we went to the premiere of the House of David TV show, which is a series that's coming out that you can now watch the first three episodes of. I'm going to encourage you guys to watch it. And Samuel in it was so profound. I just thought he did such a profound job, put the fear of God right in all of us who are watching this together. I was right next to my wife and Priscilla Schreier, and we're just watching this moment in time where it's like, oh my gosh, this has never been seen this way before, this artistic representation. And it reminds me of this exact word of projects that are going to come forth. They're going to change the way people view God, view life, and view their opportunity. But in the dream, I was in a classroom, and the teacher was collecting our special graduation projects. And these weren't just assignments. They were also a huge part of our final grade, not only for like the year, but our entire high school education. The teacher announced the projects are due. And I had like this fear hit me, like the projects are due. And it was just almost like, did I do this? Did I get it done? Did I get it done on time? And when the teacher got to me, because she went one person by one person, I felt a panic. I mean, I was like, oh no, is it here? But when I looked down on my desk, I remember doing and completing the project. It was something that was so personal and so deep. And it was just something I'm really actually working on. And it just felt so significant. And I handed it in and was so happy with it. I'm not done with this project in reality, but in the dream I was. And I couldn't believe that it had come from me, that it had come from inside of me and God. And I knew that it was a God feeling. Like I knew that it was like this moment of, wow, I did it. Like I accomplished this with you by obeying you. As I looked around, you know, I saw desks filled with the most amazing career-making anointed projects. And almost everyone had one except for a few people in the back of the room who hadn't been paying attention most of the year. And they just weren't into it. They just weren't connected to what was going on. And one of the girls in the back said, can I turn mine in next week? And the teacher responded, I've given you 4 years to complete this. One more week's not going to help you. You're not even really started on what you're supposed to be doing. So you decided not to do it. It's done. You don't get this part of your grade. And I felt sad for her, but I also understood she hadn't even started. And then the teacher smiled at me and said, I can't wait to see how this goes. Meaning the fruit of my project. She was referring to the impact all of our projects would have, and she was going to distribute them in different places that they could have the most fruit. And I felt so in awe of the opportunity to do a project that had this teacher and her, whatever the team was, to distribute them. And so I woke up from this. I believe that the interpretation is really a prophetic call to stewardship. And this dream is right now about our generation. And God's placed so many projects inside of us, and he expects us to have stewardship. I mean, that's one of the key kind of themes in the Bible, is stewarding our lives for God, stewarding our love, stewarding our energy, stewarding our callings, our assignments. And sometimes there's projects that are specific projects that we're called to do in our lifetime. And again, it could be write the book, make the movie. It could be start the business. It could be start the project in the business. It could be start the ministry, whatever it is. There's projects that God has designed before time began for us. And as I was praying into this, I was just thinking about that many of you have already developed the idea internally, or you've you've started to look at taking the action and you've completed some version of the project even, and maybe you've stepped out in faith. But some of you have a project to start in or take to another level this year, and you can feel it, and there's a stirring in your spirit. You haven't been feeling that, like that, maybe that unction or that seriousness until just in the last couple months or the last month, the last week. Maybe I'm even speaking language to you right now, where you've had a dream that you were in school or you were in a class where you've had a dream about your project. Take those seriously right now. God's really speaking to people. And the teacher in the dream represented God's timing. And what struck me was that she told the students who didn't finish, I won't give you more time, which is very sobering. And it reminds me of 1 Samuel 15:22, which we just watched in the House of David series. It's better to obey than to sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. I mean, it's just so profound, because you have this thing where God gives you something to do, and a lot of times we only accomplish a measure of it. We're like, I guess that's good enough. That's all the energy I have for it. And God's looking for the full manifestation of what he's put inside of us, and he is equipping us. And the more time we spend, you know, in his word — my Bible's back here — but the more time we spend in his Bible and the word, the more time we spend in prayer, the more time we spend strategizing, giving him and surrendering our life, the more he can use our life and put these projects in a full way inside of us, and expectations and planning and help and tools. So obedience in the right time is crucial. And I think about, you know, delaying what God's put inside of you can mean missing the window for it. There's something about the fear of God that God wants us to have over these projects, where we realize that there is a moment in time, that there are certain things that are happening right now. Like, I think of being at the premiere last night and just thinking about the fact that they had to have this script. They had to have this script for this series and some of the other series they're working on too, as far as the Wonder Project with the Irwin brothers. They had to have this ready now. They had to have already killed the bear and the lion, and they had to go after this now. And they had to be in alignment. So then when they had those conversations with the Amazon Prime, who's putting millions, I think over $100 million in this project, when they had to talk with the Amazon Prime, they had to be ready, and they had to have the history of other projects, but they also had to have the vision of this project of what it could be. And when they were sharing afterwards, they did a Q&A after showing the series. So you had John Irwin and the other John Gunn, and you had one of the actors, the actor who played David, and then you had Dallas, who from The Chosen, who was moderating. And when they were sharing their process, you could just feel like this was the time in history for this series to come from these men for a wide mainstream audience. And I could just feel like in that, like having this dream, you know, there's projects that are for now, they're due now. The projects are due now. And I just think it's so important that we understand that what God's put inside of you, you're feeling — some of you are feeling that urgency or that pressure or that burning or that excitement, or even some of the, what if I don't get this done? You're counting the costs. Pay attention to that. Pay attention to that. And if you have a project that, maybe it's a life project of starting, you know, an orphanage, or doing something with a justice project or whatever it is, I want you to pray into that in this season and ask God, is there something about this that's due now? Is there something you want me to work on? And I love that God will give us strength for the journey, because a lot of times when these journeys are supposed to be in their height is the time when we don't have that much strength or we don't have that much energy for it. And I think God does it. So we'll have to lean in, not on our own understanding and our own energy, our own ability to get things done, but on God's. And I love Isaiah 40:31, it says, but I'm tired and I don't have strength. You know, it doesn't say that, but that's what people are saying. And then he says, but those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up on wings of with eagles, or like eagles, and they will run and not get weary, and they will walk and not faint. In other words, God's strengthening you. He's the one who's going to give you the energy for this. It's not you. It says you wait on God, you get unusual energy that comes in wisdom and resources that you need as you step forward in obedience. And that's one of the keys, is that you're going to get these things because you waited on God, because you know God, because you know Jesus. I also want to encourage you, when we look at some of the projects, sometimes as in humanity, we have this complex where we feel like it has to hit the most people with the biggest metrics. And we try to measure our projects by the world standards, and not every project's about external fruit. So not every project's about, you know, developing something that everybody sees. A lot of projects are developed that you will never fully see the fruit, but you'll know it's worth it because there's obedience in it. There's something about giving that place of needing affirmation back to God. And there's always some affirmation or some proof for connection and obedience in the natural. Even God gave Abraham the ram to sacrifice when he's bringing Isaac up to sacrifice, and validated the obedience. So there's always something that will validate your obedience. You won't live blindly when it comes to the faith journey you're on. But there's all kinds of metrics that we get a messiah complex over, where we think our projects are going to save the world, or we look for the success of the impact of the natural fruit. We're looking for, you know, like the metrics of social media followers, or we're looking for sales, or we're looking for how many people are engaging, or whatever it is. And those are all good metrics, and they're important metrics, except for when God isn't looking for that kind of success. We look at the life of Solomon, and you can see all the metrics there of how the city was transformed, his kingship, how he ruled and reigned, and what it did to the world around him. But then we look at Jesus and all the metrics where he turned the internal world of people and society upside down. It wasn't a natural, obvious physical kingdom he was building where he was becoming the king of a castle. It was a spiritual kingdom he was imparting a culture of from within, that could lead to kingdoms being formed, that could lead to things happening in the natural, but the natural wasn't the first fruit that you would see from it. It would be the changed heart. The person who becomes like a disciple of Christ is our Great Commission. And so many of us get a messiah complex, and we feel like we have to measure these metrics according to a natural. And there's such a pressure of that, right, on social media and all the coaches that are out there and all the things. It's like we're looking for that natural success, you know, and I just want to encourage you that the project that is inside of you, you can't look first with natural eyes for how you're going to succeed, because then you'll start to determine and count the cost based on, well, can I really reach that many people? How many artists wouldn't be artists and perform or create their art if it had to go to the mass market, if it had to be commercialized? And I think that some of us sometimes look at the commercialization of our dream and think that that would be fruitful versus the obedience of our dream and all the people we get to love on and connect to because we walk out something in obedience with God. And I love Zechariah 4:10. It says, don't despise the day of small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. And I've been using the scripture a lot lately. So if you've listened to me before, you might've heard the scripture, but some of you think your project's small, but God loves when you start, and you should love it too. You should love to start. Some of you need to like start something. Maybe it's the book you're writing. Maybe it's the script you're writing or whatever it is. And you just start it and just enjoy the fact that you started it. Enjoy the fact that you're in it now. You're doing it. And don't allow what the project's supposed to become to rob you from the joy of getting to produce, perform, connect to God in your skills. I know many people, we do Exploring the Marketplace podcast, and many people who are career-driven, they realize after 30 years of career, 40 years of career, that they have sacrificed a lot of really good things and a lot of precious moments on the way because their reach for tomorrow and their future vision is greater than walking with God today and walking with their family and their marriage and their kids. So they've lost marriages, they've lost connection to their kids, they've lost connection to friends because they care more about what they're building in the future than they care about this is the day the Lord's made and I will rejoice and be glad in it. So one of the most beautiful things is God loves when you start and when you're present and you dwell in the season you're in with a place of contentment. And I think contentment for people who are ambitious, or and ambition's not all bad. Fleshly ambition is wrong, but godly ambition can lead to all kinds of fruit. But sometimes those can be mixed. And it's really easy when you have all kinds of ambition to look past what's happening now and not enjoy the people and the place that you're planted in now. And we have to bloom where we're planted. It's one of the themes that Sri and I have had for the last couple of years, because we've surrendered so much in our marriage for our purposes of saying, you know, like California, I moved from California, which was, I mean, my, I thought it was my promised land forever. And I felt like God was saying, move to Dallas and be a part of what you're doing in Dallas with media and television. And I just remember just going, wow, this is really outside of the box of what you've led me to believe or what I've thought. But even us, we've had to learn, like we, you know, she got a TV project with Angel Studios when we moved here. And we just, or right before we moved here, and we just realized like we have to bloom, even though these aren't our permanent projects and they're not the things we're going to be doing forever. We have to bloom where we're planted and trust God and the purposes of our life. And also when you do that, you actually focus more on the relationships you're in, the connections you have. So your family and your marriage and all those things become essential to your enjoyment of life. And they become essential to your fruitfulness in life and your character building in life. But when you're always reaching for tomorrow, you will run over those relationships. You will cancel those relationships. You will sacrifice those relationships for so many other things. And I think it's really important to recognize that we have to bloom where we're planted. We have to not despise where we're at today, that where we're at today is an essential part of our God story. Unless we're living a life of immorality and sin and repented, the whole thing, then we have an opportunity to enjoy the day the Lord's made. And I believe we have to recognize the Kairos moment that we're in the world right now. We're in unique places in society. I was just listening to Trump and how he was talking about, you know, wealthy business people from other countries can buy a green card to do business in America for $5 million. And if they get, you know, 1,000 of these people on, we'll heal the national debt or whatever. You know, it's like he was just talking about how like we can have, and it wasn't, the numbers were different than that, but we can have people who from other countries who can have a place to do business because we want their economy. We want their resources here, but we also want talent and gifting and whatever. So I was listening to that and I was thinking, oh my gosh, there's going to be opportunities for companies. Maybe that could be a Silicon Valley type of a company in the world, but they're in a small company, a country like India, or they're somewhere where they'll only have a max cap of, you know, $20 million industry where they're at, but they can come to America, a land of opportunity, and have $200 million or $1 billion cap on their industry because they have this opportunity now. And I was thinking of that being, and it's a weird opportunity, but it's someone that's never existed before. I was thinking about other opportunities in the unique season we're in when it comes to AI, when it comes to robotics, when it comes to new expressions of entertainment, when it comes to all these things that are available now, and even our awareness, we're seeing a breaking down in society of different issues when it comes to men's and women's issues, when it comes to, you know, children at risk, all these things. And we're seeing them with new lenses, and we're seeing it what used to be only maybe social workers for some of the social justice causes would see and maybe bring a little light to. We now have more full access because of social media and mainstream media and all these things, documentaries, to understand issues over agriculture and human life and animal life and these kinds of things. So we have a new opportunity, and we're in a unique season to actually solve problems that are being presented as huge problems that are almost hopeless. And yet God puts his sons and daughters on the earth to prove that he loves the world. And so he manifests things through us that solve big problems, that his love actually takes care and care gives. Like I think of Joseph, and I talked about the Joseph anointing, if you want to listen to that word from last week. And Joseph was uniquely raised up for a Kairos moment to solve a huge problem that proved that the God of Israel loved the world, that the God of Israel sustained people where no other God fought for people, no other God helped humanity, but the God of Israel for years sustained them through several years long famine. And so we're in a really unique time like that. And there, of course, there's the shaking, the reforming, and some of you are positioned because of that in industries or in ministry or in places, in relationships where God's shifting things. And there's a grace to finish what God started. And I think sometimes it didn't get authored with you. Sometimes there's some projects or some things that you're now picking up that somebody else dropped, that somebody else never completed, or maybe the industry wasn't ready or the world wasn't ready for it yet. And you're doing like 2.0, or you're doing another measure iteration, and there's room for all of it. Like at the same time as House of David TV series is coming out, there's actually several other people working on the Life of David movies and different versions of these. There's also Dallas from The Chosen is talking about doing the resurrection of Christ as a movie, as a feature-length film, through Amazon as well, through MGM Studios. And he's talking about other movies as well. And you think of that, and Mel Gibson's doing the resurrection of Christ too. And there's room for many iterations of what God wants done. God doesn't always give everything to just one person, but he gives it across the board in similar projects that will hit in different veins, different ways. One might hit more of the Catholic Church. One might hit more of the Protestant Church. One might hit more of the mainstream world than the other. You never know, but there's room for all of it. And so sometimes we even get a project and we actually let someone else who's doing it, who we have no connection to, we say, well, because they're doing something similar or the same, I'm not going to do it as well. But there's so many different iterations of what God wants on the earth that there's room for you too. There's room for you to let God finish something in your life that maybe got authored through somebody else, or maybe somebody else is also carrying, and there's room for both. And excuse me, I love Hebrews 12 too, where it talks about the author will also finish what he started. And that's one of my favorite scriptures, because everything that God's put inside of you, everything God's put inside of me, as we get closer to Jesus, as we give our heart more to him, as we purge ourselves from our humanity and our flesh and the things that, you know, not our general humanity, it's a gift, but the base nature of humanity, as we, you know, as we become more like Christ, we get more and more opportunity to do what he's put inside of us. And God's put so much inside of you. And I just hope you can treasure that you can believe that. And if you don't know it yet, it's okay, because one of the actions of the Holy Spirit is as you get closer to Jesus, he'll reveal what the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit have put inside of you, Godhead has put inside of you. And that's a guarantee. It's in the scripture that he will show you your destiny. He will reveal to you your calling. He will allow you to be placed in the midst of the people you're called to. And some of the projects that we have to realize too, they actually have tied to them the resources we're called to walk in different seasons of our lives. So sometimes we're behind in resources because we weren't obedient to start the business, or we weren't obedient to get the side hustle. We weren't obedient to get the job, or we weren't obedient to get the education, or we weren't obedient to start a ministry. We weren't obedient to write the book. And so there's resources. It may not be finances. Maybe you wouldn't have made a lot of money through one of those projects, but you would have had different time as a resource given back to you, or you would have had different relationships because of the exposure of what that would have brought to you. There would be different influence. Maybe there's different skills and talents that you would have now to go into the season with. Sometimes we have a deficit because we didn't do what we're supposed to do in the past season. And so we have to make up that deficit by being obedient so God could catch us up. So I'm going to encourage you that some of the resources that you're called to are tied to those projects. So if you get 3 years down the road, 4 years down the road, and you're supposed to do something now, you really need to pray and look, go backwards and look at what God told you to do or what God put in your heart or what the projects were he put inside of you and see if you are behind, because sometimes we don't have breakthrough now because we weren't obedient then. So we have to go back to the last place we're supposed to be obedient and pick up those things. And I think of a friend of mine who he was working for a company and it was a film company, he loved it. And he just was so happy. Contentment can be a thief. You know, he's so content. But God had put inside of him and told him from the time he was young, you're going to start a company. You're going to do your own entertainment company. And for years, he wouldn't do it because he just was so, so happy in his role. And then the company started going through a shaking and he went through some people accused him of some things and that had nothing to do with him. And just this whole drama happened for him. And I remember he processed it with me. I was kind of being a coach for him at the time, even though we're friends. And he processed it with me. And I said, you know, what's the bigger picture in your life? Is this job the biggest thing that God's called you to? And so you're going to be faithful and kind of push past it. Or is there something else? He goes, well, I felt like I was supposed to start my own entertainment company since I was in my 20s. He's in his 40s now. And he's like, and I have projects, a whole project deck in line. And I've actually worked on them quite a bit, but I've never wanted to launch it. And I said, well, what stopped you from launching? And he goes, I just love my job so much. I get it. I mean, it's really hard to leave something that's so good for something that's so right. Because good is the enemy of the best sometimes. And I remember just telling him, like, I think you need to really pray to this. I'm not telling you to leave your job, but I think you need to pray into, now that there is a shaking at work, now that there is a kind of the cost, you're going, I'm not sure if I want to be here long term. What are you supposed to do then? If it's not this job, what is it? And start to dream about that. Look at that. Pray about that. Do feasibility for that. And by the time he did that for only 2 weeks, he was done. He was like, I know I need to do this. Like, this is what I'm called to. I feel like I could have been 5 years ahead of, you know, right now. I could have left 5 years ago when I had some incentives from his job where he had some more money than he ever had before. And he could have started the company. He's like, I get it. Like, I need to stop. So sometimes we have resources in our lives, because when he started his company, he got some really cool projects with Netflix and other companies right away, like instant projects. Not everybody gets that. And so his resources and his stewardship and his calling was in that future season of him, you know, being obedient and stewarding for. And so sometimes our resources come through the projects we're called to. And again, it's not just finances, it's relationships, it's time management, it's all these things. And so I'm going to encourage you to do what God's promised you in the sense of taking the step today, because some of the resources that are you're called to are ahead of you. And that's really important. And we have to learn how to wait correctly, because sometimes we wait and there's a green light already. We're not supposed to be waiting. We think it's noble to wait, but it's actually some of our immaturity that waits past the point where God's already saying, hey, I've given you the green light. You don't need another word or sign or anything else. And I love the biblical story about Numbers 13 through 14, where God's given Israel the promised land, but they hesitated. I love this story, not because I love the story for the Israelites, but I love the story for us, because they sent spies in. They saw giants. They saw all this stuff, but they didn't listen to the good report, and they waited. They hesitated. So God said, I have to give it to your kids, like, to move forward. And they actually missed their promised land as far as the fullness of it. And I just think, like, I don't want to wait in the wrong way or hesitate wait because I'm afraid of my future, because I'm afraid of something, or because I don't think something's going to happen, or because I don't know what the unknown is going to bring. I'm going to walk in the measure of faith I can walk in today and not hesitate. And not, of course, again, feasibility, of course, bite-sized pieces, of course, do things in step with what makes sense in life. But God, when he requires obedience, there's always a measure of faith. It's not always like so much risk that you lose everything if you go into it. Every once in a while, we go to those places. But some of you have a project that you need to not hesitate for. And I mean, they missed their window and God tells them basically it's too late. And when God gives us a green light, don't delay. Trust him. The door is not going to stay open forever. And I've learned that. I'm sure many of you have learned that. And so if you feel the door is open, trust him. Trust him as the author. Trust him as the finisher. Don't hesitate, but like walk out what's resonating with you. If this is resonating with you as a word, I'm going to encourage you to pray, like spend some time and pray. And we'll pray in just a minute, but spend some time to pray to see if you can get some action plans and write down your project, set a timeline to it, you know, ask God for wisdom, take the first step. So I'm going to pray for your project in just a second here. But before I do want to remind you to subscribe, hit the notifications. If you're on a podcast, you can subscribe and leave us a review, because that'll help other people get this podcast. the Exploring the Prophetic on the Charisma Podcast Network. Otherwise, if you're watching on streaming or if you're watching on YouTube, I'm going to encourage you to leave a comment on YouTube. Tell us what we could be praying for. And also consider the fact that we do this as a ministry. It's a 501c3 nonprofit charity ministry every week. And because of your powerful donations and your giving, we're able to continue this ministry. So I'm going to encourage you, if you love this ministry, if you love what we're doing, these messages are meaning something, resonating with you, consider giving a one-time gift or becoming a partner so we can keep doing this, especially sowing into the season of the word you're in and just saying, God, I want to kind of put a stone of memory or memorialize this in this moment of time. And I'm going to partner my faith with finances. That helps us and it helps you too at times, I believe. And you go to bowlsministries.com, click on give, or you go to donate.bowlsministries.com. Well, let's pray. I just think it's such an important time. I want you to just treasure and ponder the project. Like Mary pondered the promise in her heart. Treasure and ponder the promise or the project that you have inside of you. Maybe, again, it's something with family, or it's a project in business or a ministry thing, or maybe it's a creative project or something that you're going to launch. And I want to encourage you, treasure it right now. And God, I thank you for every person listening. And I pray, God, that you'd stir up the project, stir up the dreams, not night dreams too, but just the dreaming over these projects of what you're calling it to be, the visions, God, the pieces that don't feel like make sense yet. Maybe you're a writer and you have some writer's block on some of the aspects of your story or your project, your script. Maybe it's somebody who's, you're a business creator, you're an entrepreneur, and there's something big that's missing. And God wants you to dream, and he wants to give you that missing piece. I know a friend of mine just last week told me, I got the missing piece. It was AI. And we've been praying through his missing piece for a while. And he got this AI program that helped him with everything he needed that saved him like so much money because he educated himself really quickly. And I just pray, God, that you would give us those missing pieces and don't let those blocks feel like walls, but let them feel like hurdles, that as we jump over them, that we get further and we get more momentum, God. And I pray that you would give us boldness and energy, God, for all the things you've called us to. Help each person watching trust your timeline, God. Help us to trust your pursuit of this with us, God, that it's about our obedience, and then your zeal is going to be a more powerful tool than our desire and zeal for it. God, that you have a zeal by your hand, you're going to accomplish this if we just say yes. And we pray, Jesus, that you would just give us revelation and understanding into this and help us to know you and do this not just for you, but with you. I pray that that would be a huge component, that we wouldn't just do something for you, God, but we would do it with you in Jesus' name. Well, this is your year. This is your project. The race has begun. I'm going to encourage you, God, saying, I can't wait to see how it goes. I just feel like God's looking at you and just he's entrusted you with something. And he's all of heaven's looking like, what's going to happen? And God knows, but he's also excited for you to see how it goes. And I just want to encourage you, start the project, do it, and tell us what you're starting. I want to hear from you. We'll see you next time at Exploring the Prophetic. It was so good to be with you. Make sure to listen in each and every Sunday for a sermon or a prophetic message that's going to help you grow.
Thank you for listening to Exploring the Prophetic. If you want to learn more about hearing God's voice, come over to my website, www.seanbowlz.com. That's S-H-A-W-N-B-O-L-Z. I have many resources for you there, like some on hearing God, like my best-selling book, Translating God. I have prayer books on breakthrough and provision to help you to have more language to talk to God. And we even have a devotional on this series called Exploring the Prophetic. I also want to invite you to spiritually grow by joining our online thriving mentoring community, where we have 12 four-week live classes a year on subjects that will shape your relationship with God. Themes like hearing God's voice, dream interpretation, deliverance, and so many other spiritual themes from expert teachers. And I personally get to train you in my Prophetic Monthly Mastermind live group if you join. Plus, when you join, we have an amazing online community with a spiritual growth pastor who will lead you in weekly groups to practice what you're learning. Go to bowlsministries.com or seanbowlz.com and click on mentoring community. See you next time on Exploring the Prophetic.